I want to take just a minute as we begin this morning to say to those of you who we announced that last Sunday morning would be the first in our series. We still haven't gotten all the bugs out of our change in providers of internet, so I understand that we didn't get all of last week's lesson, and I'm going to redo that sometime this week. But I believe the introduction will help you to be ready to follow in the study that we've engaged in. I want to take just a minute. Certain people come along in life who make impressions that if we're not careful, we may not get the full impact of what they do and what their life is all about. I've been privileged to know Stuart since he and I were both children. His dad was one of the finest men that I ever had the privilege to know. And Stuart has fallen in those footsteps. Stuart is a person who has little, if any, ill will for anyone. He has a genuine spirit of kindness and goodness. His smile kind of brightens your day when you meet him. He's encouraging. He knows a great deal of the Bible. He loves the Lord. And it's always good to know people that are genuine and real. And Stuart is that. And so the truth is very plain. The world is short on genuine people. So I hope that you all join me in praying diligently for this, our brother, that the best possible results can come for him and for his family. And we just hope to see him back home soon. And pray God's blessings on Stuart. It seems that with each passing day, and each passing week in our history, something else happens that calls people's attention to how divided we are, how angry people are, how distrusting, how bitter, how full of hatred the world has become. And so it was with this in mind as I began to try to put together this series of lessons. Paul tells us that the Jesus that we serve is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask. And last Sunday morning we asked the question, do I really love the church of God that he purchased with his own blood, that he promised to build, as we read in Matthew chapter 16, and that Paul said he did purchase with his blood in Acts 20 and verse 26. Just a few days ago, we celebrated 24 years of a date known as 9/11. How many of you remember where you were 9/11, 24 years ago? I was living in Oklahoma. Got a phone call that said, you need to go turn on your television. I honestly thought, as I viewed that, that I was viewing something like the world had viewed with some Buck Rogers stories. This can't be real. Any of you have that feeling that this just isn't real? This is make-believe. This is something that I couldn't get my mind around. (Clears throat) 24 years later, I don't think I've got my mind around all of it yet. It's hard to believe that everything I see happening with people in the world today is real. I sometimes want to believe that we're living in a nightmare, a dream, and that we'll all wake up and things will be better. But when we look at reality, then we're reminded, as we said last Sunday morning, that what is missing more than anything else in our world today is a lack of respect and a true understanding of who should be in charge and who has authority. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth." You see, there is nothing today that you and I or any politician, anyone in any form of government, any business people anywhere, if we want to know how to live and how to be happy, how to find peace in our lives, joy, to build homes and families that are happy and successful, we need to understand where the authority is. Jesus said in John chapter 5, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." I believe that most people would like to believe that there is something beyond this life that will be better, that we can live forever. And most people want to live in a world without sin and death and sorrow, without anger and hate and violence. But the only way to find that is through Jesus. You see, when we go back to the very beginning of time, as we did last Sunday morning, we began to see a very unique and a consistent problem throughout man's journey on earth. We know that there are three types of sin: the sin of lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. We know that Adam and Eve were tempted in all of those ways. But the question this morning is, what was the sin that got Adam and Eve in trouble? Was it the eating of the fruit? Or was it what produced the eating of the fruit? You see, what happened to Adam and Eve was this. Eve did not believe what God said. She could even quote it. God said, "In the day that we eat thereof, we will die." And Satan said, "I'm here to tell you that's not true." Have you noticed today in our world how quick everybody is to say, whatever anybody says, somebody's there to say, "That's not true. That's not the way it is. Let me tell you. Let me show you." And everybody has a different philosophy and a different idea. And it all depends on who we choose to believe. Adam and Eve made a grave mistake when they did not believe God. Cain made a grave mistake. The Bible says that Abel, by faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. The truth is that Cain did not believe God. He thought he could do things his way. In that great chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, there's a great list of people who believed God. They were faithful to God. Many of them suffered terrible, unbelievable things in their journey on this earth. But when the 12th chapter opens in verse 1, we read these words. "Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. In my study of the Bible, I have found that most people, when they read Hebrews chapter 11, and you ask them what this verse means, they say it simply means whatever your particular sin is, whatever gives you the biggest problem. That's one of the problems with the Bible when men broke it into chapters. You see, the 11th chapter is all about faith, people who believe God. Now the writer says that here is where man gets in trouble. What is the sin that does so easily beset man? It is the sin of unbelief. It is the sin of not following God, not taking Him at His word. As we went back through all of history, from the beginning of Adam and Eve, man has failed to believe God and then act upon what he knows God wants. And the result of that has been destruction. Let's look at our world today. So many people, and I'm saying this not only to the world, but I'm saying this to us as Christians. So many people today are absolutely consumed with what's going on in the world. There are people today whose televisions are on nearly 24 hours a day, watching the news, soaking in the horror stories, the crime, the violence, the hate, and all that is dividing the world today. And we're fed a constant diet. I don't care what your political views are, in the sense where you get your news, which point of view you have. It's all somebody's idea of interpreting for us what's going on in the world and why the world is falling apart and why the world is full of the violence and the hate. And so many people think they have an answer. If everybody just listened to me, I would solve it all. And then we turn our attention to the religious world today, especially the denominational world, and everybody wants to have their own brand, their own ideas, their own philosophies. But I'm concerned in our study, and I am challenging those of you who profess to be members of the church. What about us? Where are we? Peter said that as Christians, we should be ready to give every man a reason of the hope that is in us. We should be able to tell people why we believe in Jesus, why we believe the Bible, why we hold certain truths to be true, and why I believe there is a place called heaven that is reserved for them that love Him and keep His commandments. But now I want to get a little bit more personal. When you look at the church, this congregation, most congregations in the brotherhood today, why are we dwindling numerically? Why are more and more congregations closing their doors? I hope this doesn't sound ugly or mean, but I am so tired of people trying to tell me that the answer to what ails us can be found in the wisdom of human beings. Somebody says, well, we could reach people if we would use different music in the church. We could reach people if we weren't so dogmatic about standing up for baptism and this and that. We just got things all messed up. Remember the very premise of where we begin. What is wrong in the church today is that man has silenced the voice of the Almighty God of heaven. Jesus has all authority. Hear Him. Not ourselves, but hear Him. Let me give you some examples of how the church has drifted away from paying attention to the voice of Jehovah. Have you ever heard this logic from people? Well, no, we don't have elders where I attend, but we don't need them. And since we don't have men qualified, then we run the church as the men see fit. Man, when we jump from what God says to what man says, we can jump off a cliff in a heartbeat. And we have suffered the consequences because so many of the false teachings and false doctrines that permeate the church today have come because there are no shepherds to keep the flock safe and fully. How many of you in the church have experienced division? People say, you go your way and I go mine. I even see people sometimes in the same town. They'll divide the church, and then in a few years they'll say, well, we've made up. But you stay in your building, I stay in mine. Some people won't like this. But you see, the Bible is as plain as it's ever been. When Paul says, in Christ, there is neither male nor female, there is neither bond nor free, neither Jew nor Gentile, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. That's why today in the church, we often meet separately because of race issues, philosophies and doctrines of men. You see, it is not that we can't honor God. It's that sometimes we have decided that since we don't like what God says, we can do what the people did during the days of Jeremiah. And we can say, God does not see and God does not care. It is okay for us to interject our own wisdom and say, this is what I think, this is what I believe, this is where I'm going to go, this is how I'm going to live, and God will have to accept it. I hope as I close this lesson this morning, the events of the last few weeks, with more violence, more death, being reminded of what we probably thought never would happen on our own soil. I want to leave you a plea this morning. I wish today that members of the church could go back and realize that Jesus, in His teaching, said that every one of us needs to take time to turn off our televisions, put down our phones, silence social media. You know, then you have those things in the times of Jesus, and He still said, get away from the world, go shut yourself off with Me and Me alone. And when you come and talk to Me in private and pour out your heart to Me, I'll hear you and I'll bless you. We are so distraught today over everything the world brings to bear upon us that we have forgotten God is the God of peace. He has healing in his wings. And I believe until Christians wake up to realize, don't fear those that can destroy the body, and then they're done. But you deal with God. Put your faith, your hope, your respect, your obedience to doing what God wants. And He will not only bless you, but He'll bless your children and your grandchildren. He'll bless us in ways that we can't imagine. What do you think would happen today if a few thousand people, children of God, said, we're going to take a couple of days a week, we're going to get off of all this nonsense, we're going to turn off our TVs, we're going to go back to reading the Bible. We're going to pray. We're going to ask for God's blessings. We're going to ask Him because we are in perilous times. It took God's people of old 400 years to realize how sad their lives really were. But the Bible says, God said, Moses, I have heard the cries of my people. God needs to hear His people cry today. We have let the church fail. We have lost sight of all that is holy and precious. And we have let the world tell us what to do and what to believe and what to practice. And who has lost? Many of us have lost children, grandchildren, from the Lord to the world. We see the church struggle. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It is a time for tears. And I wonder, are we anything like the prophets of old? Can our hearts be tender and touched to where we truly grieve, we mourn, our eyes are clouded with tears, our voice trembles? As we seek God to give us the faith and the courage to honor Him in everything that we say or do. God loves us. He wants us to be happy. And we can be happy in this world of sin and sorrow because we can hold God's